Here we go. It has been 241 straight days that I've been on the road. That's 7 months and 28 days. Or 20,822,400 seconds. Or 5,784 hours. You get the gist. But in that time frame, I have gone down a lot of paths. I've gone from the East Coast to the West Coast, from the North to the South, and I have seen a lot of things, and I've done a lot of good, I like to say. I've met a lot of subscribers, and I've been involved in a lot of activities.
It's 3 o'clock in the morning, heading to Garden Grove. Got a big toy drive this morning. Hopefully it's a big toy drive. I brought some toys. I love toys, obviously.
Now, I didn't build this truck simply to bring it to shows and show it off, etc., or post it on Instagram. I built this truck because I have a thing with filming wildlife. The wilder, the better. And I've gotten some epic footage out there on my own of all sorts of crazy animals. And many times I get way too close, but it is what it is. One of these days I'll probably learn my lesson when the gator turns around and grabs me. But I have this overwhelming desire to get footage for my subscribers that can't get there themselves. Do you see what I'm saying? And this truck helps me to do that, no matter what type of animal it is that I may be looking for. You dig? Now, this is going to be a long video, and I will get to the four-wheeling. But first, I want to explain the build of my truck just a little bit, because I never did a final walk-around. When I built this truck, my intention was not to build a showstopper, but it turns out the truck does actually turn a lot of heads when it's at shows, and it's been at several. I didn't want a black truck, I wanted the desert tan, but I wanted a 2019 TRD Pro with 0 miles, and the only one I could find was in black, so there it is. When I got the truck, I completely stripped it out, back seats and all, and I installed the rear drawer system that I built several years ago that was in my 80 series. This rear drawer system is incredibly capable. 4-foot-long drawers, 500-pound slides, and it's been in two trucks for over 200,000 miles, so it's held up. My rear drawer system isn't just the rear two drawers that you see and the refrigerator on its own slide, but it also houses my dual lithium batteries and my 1,500-watt pure sine wave inverter. It also has my cell phone booster and a Red Arc BC-DC-1250, taking care of the solar and external alternator power, so it works out really well. I needed this thing to get me wherever I wanted to go, and if anything went wrong, I could extricate myself. So I built this thing up very, very specifically using the 7 years on the road in my 80 series as a diagram of what I wanted this truck to do. And I wasn't too sure if the 4Runner could actually hold up to the 80 series, but after this past few weeks, it turns out it can. The reason I'm showing you all these modifications is so you can understand how much weight this vehicle is carrying. It's almost double the factory weight. Now, I made provisions for all that with springs, brakes, drive lines, bigger axles, etc., so it could handle it, as well as supercharged it. So this thing, it's like a Cadillac even when it's off-road. It's pretty insane, and I'm pretty excited that I built this in my driveway. You know what I mean? Everything that was put on here was put on for a reason. This is not an Instagram truck, even though it could be. But this truck is incredibly capable. The interior is set up so that I can see everything that's going on with the engine and the transmissions while I'm driving. Everything you can know while you're driving, I do know. It looks like I'm in the cockpit of an F-15, but there's all four of my shifters, and there's my scan gauge 3. Everything you see, I installed and wired everything. I built this thing. I was pretty stoked about it. But with all that being said, I had taken this truck on Big Bear in California, Calico out in California, trails in Nevada, Arizona, pretty much all over the place. But the one place I wanted to see if this truck could actually hang with my 80 series was the Ozarks in the springtime. Using the April 8th eclipse as an excuse to make my way from California to the Ozarks, I drove out there. I got my footage, and then I started finding trails in Missouri and Arkansas in the Ozarks. And then I even went to Flat Nasty Off-Road Park in Missouri to really put the truck to the test on Black Diamond trails. These are buggy and truggy trails. And I brought the truck on two of them, so she did incredibly well. At any rate, here's the video. This video is going to cover several arenas. There's going to be night runs, there's going to be winching, there's going to be chainsaws, and there's going to be Bigfoot. So this is going to be a long video, but you're really going to enjoy it. And it took me forever to make, to produce the footage, and then to edit it. So please give it a thumbs up, or don't. Here we go. Okay, I'm back in the Ozarks. I'm back at the power line. And the power line is flooded. It is raining. Finally, after months of a dry season, it has finally started raining here in the Ozarks. And that old trail down there is full up with water. So I'm going to sit here for a bit. Maybe the rain will die off. And then we can put the drone up in the air. I dropped my tire pressure. And I guess I'm just waiting. I don't want to put the drone up when it's pouring rain if I can avoid it. You know what I mean? So that's where we're at.
I'm about to go down here. And these are the crossings I used to do in my 80 series. That's the mud that I did the tires. And there's the river I got across. And it is as high as it gets. Should be interesting. It's a crazy trail. And I mean, it's even worse when it's raining. And it is thunderstorms right now. Crazy.
So here's where the adventure began. I had a rainy day, really heavy downpour, and I had just done this trail a couple of weeks prior with Jason and his father, Leon. And I want you to notice how the trees in that aren't quite bloomed. It's amazing to me how much the trail changed with the rains. As soon as the rains came, all the leaves started coming in. And when I was out on this trail, well, it was easy enough to take a wrong turn. And that's exactly what I did. And that wrong turn took me off of a trail that I had done at least a dozen times. I did the Yokohama versus the Nitto Mud Grappler comparison video here. I'm very familiar with this trail. I've camped on it. But man, one rainstorm, trees coming in, one wrong turn, and I ended up on a thing called the Devil's Backbone. The first time I ever had to take damage in the Forerunner because the trail demanded it. Hence the name, the Devil's Backbone. So we go from the power lines, a trail that I know really well. I took one wrong turn. Well, you know what? Let me show you. The trail was going along fine. Everything was incredibly rutted and washed out, and that red stuff that I'm driving on that's stuck in my tires is incredibly slippery. These are very, very steep descents, but nothing you can't handle. You know what I mean? Little bit of a pucker factor, but not too bad at all. Nothing I hadn't seen before and nothing I hadn't anticipated. Just business as usual. You make it through the power lines and then you take a forest road for about 2 miles to the right or to the left or whatever. And it brings you to a whole nother area where you've seen me camping numerous times if you follow the channel for any length of time. With the amount of rain that was coming down, the entire power lines went up at least 4 skill levels. But I finally made my way all the way down to the end to take a left turn onto the forest road to head to the other side, where I was anticipating large stream crossings. That was my whole point of the day, was to get footage crossing these streams because I knew with the water running, they would look epic. So finally, I make it to the other side, which was my destination. I've taken this road at least 13 times, and recently we cleared some logs out of the way so it was easier to get by. So this was no big deal to me. The rain had let up a little bit, and things were going well. I was heading to the water crossing in the campsite that I've stayed at least 6-7 times, and I've done this run at least 13-14 times. But right here is where I screwed up. Instead of taking that left right there, I went straight ahead. And again, I was just here 9 days ago with Jason and his father in the troopy, and all these leaves weren't here, like you saw in the footage. Just 9 days ago. So the trail looked completely different, but I don't care. I mean, look at me. Obviously, I'm on the main trail. What could possibly go wrong? There's a lot of downed trees and such, but, you know, that happens with the rain, the loose soil, Bigfoot, whatever. So I just kept cruising along until I couldn't anymore because I ran into this. Not too far down the trail, I noticed it started getting much tighter. An awful lot of branches hitting the side of the truck, the top of the truck, and a lot of logs. But I just went over them, no big deal. Until I noticed right about up here after this water crossing was an enormous log across the trail. And I couldn't see any way around it. And it started raining again, because why wouldn't it? Well, I got to work on it, and of course it started raining even harder, but at this point, I don't care. This tree was probably 24 inches in diameter, and I'm an extremely strong person as far as picking up large things and moving them, and I couldn't move this thing whatsoever at all. But fortunately, I had all my gear in the back. My tree huggers, my bubba rope, my toe straps, and some snatch blocks. And I was going to need them. And fortunately, I was able to rig this entire thing up and pull it out of the way fairly safely. And I did literally observe all sorts of safety practices because I had just put out a video on winching and people getting killed doing so. Nobody knows I'm out here and I'm on the wrong trail. I'm traveling up in altitude and I'm supposed to be going down to a valley where the water is. I still don't realize that. So I grab hold of the Factor 55 and I pull out my synthetic rope and I wrap it around the tree. No need to get fancy yet. I'm going to wrap this around the tree, hook it up, and give it a little nudge. See what happens. You know what I'm saying? Well, she moved, but she moved slightly. So the log is soaking wet. The log is massive. Too big for me to drive over. I can drive over a 20-inch log, no problem. This one wasn't going to happen. So, I threw the rope on there, tweaked the remote a little bit to see what I had going on, and I realized that this was serious. I was going to have to get serious, so I did. Using two huge D-rings, a tree saver, a 30,000-pound tow strap, and a 25,000-pound snatch block, I hooked everything up to the driver's side of my truck, to a tree. And I figured that'd be the best way to kind of swing the tree out like a gate, you know what I mean? Because I didn't have enough juice left in my chainsaw to make two large cuts, which I wanted to do. So I was going to swing this thing like open like a gate. And that was the plan, but that plan didn't work out. So I had to, in the pouring rain, sweating my Bozak off, I had to set it up on the passenger side tree and had much better luck there.
Chainsaw ran out of teeth. Time to get a new chainsaw and a new GoPro battery.
So with all that out of the way, I figured, surely this is all going to be smooth sailing from here. And I suddenly started to realize that every place there were massive trees that were down, but I could squeeze around them to the left, to the right, or whatever, just go over them with brute force, because none were as big as the one I had to chainsaw through. But it still didn't dawn on me that I was going the wrong way, because I didn't know there was a wrong way. The beauty about this trail is I've done it a dozen times. It's always a safe trail. I know it like the back of my hand. I never knew there was a high road until I started paying attention to my GPS, and I'm thinking, why am I at 1,300 feet above sea level? I should be way down, and I wasn't, because I was now officially on Devil's Backbone, a trail I didn't even know exist, and it's aptly named because it was brutal. Now I need you to remember, these boys that live out here in the Ozarks that ride all these trails, for them to name it the Devil's Backbone is because it's a pain. It is no joke. It was nonstop log after log after twisty trail after way off camber, mud sliding sideways. It was brutal. And all the while, I keep going straight because going backwards didn't seem like an option. There had to be light at the end of the tunnel. Either that, it was a freight train coming my way. One of the two. Now, seeing as I'm at the halfway point of this video already, I want you to take notice one thing. Notice how tight and horrible the trail is. Notice how the trail part that I just went by with all the logs wasn't actually wide enough for my truck. She was taking damage on both sides. This is what happens when you go wheeling in the Ozarks. I just washed my truck the next day, and just realized that this thing is in here. Holy cow. That is a big stick. That was stuck in my rear suspension. I didn't even know it. That's crazy.
Here's one thing I wanted to add. I had a lot of footage of the outside of the truck. In this clip right here, you can see me get out of the truck and I'm setting up cameras ahead of myself so I can get outside shots. But the downside to that is when I upload to my laptop, because I'm using so many GoPros and so many cameras, some of that footage got overwritten and I lost it. And it bums me out. And all this walking killed me. I was sweating like a whore in church. It sucked, but I still did it. After going through the gnarliest trail I've ever found in the Ozarks in Missouri, I finally found a waterway, but I just wasn't familiar with it. And when I finally came to a river crossing, it was about 10 foot deep and the water was rolling. And I had no idea if I risked crossing the water, would the other side actually get me out? So I had no choice but to turn around and go back up that horrible trail that I just came down. So it was what it was. And this is me making my way back out because there is no other way out. One way in, one way out. So as bad as it sucked coming down, I had to go back up. And I did.
Now, boys,
brother, I got lost going down to that campsite that me, you, and Leon did the other day, the one that I've done 12 times. I ended up going up high, and then I got stuck on these tiny trails, man. I ripped my Max Tracks off, I bent my mountain bike rack. Dude, I got what I wanted, I'll tell you that. Night run in the Ozarks. Jason Harris, many Toyotas.
You got Stephen Hollingshead.
There you go. There you go. 100 series. Nice. So after telling Jason about my adventures on Devil's Backbone, a trail that he wasn't quite familiar with, I said, hey, I want to do a night run and try to get some nighttime footage. And he said, cool, let me call up my buddy Stephen Hollingshad. He'll bring his 100 series and his son, and we'll hit the trail. Well, the trail was absolute slop because it had poured an entire day more since I was there. So we hit the trail, we rig up the trucks with cameras, and one of the GoPros, the one you're looking at right now, wasn't so great. But man, I had no idea how much trouble we were going to get in and how fast we were going to get into that trouble. Well, you know what? You'll see. It was insane.
So we're cruising down the trail as normal, and suddenly, for some reason, Jason takes a hard left. Now, there is no trail there. It's just a water runoff, and it's been running off some serious water. And I'm familiar with this area, so I basically say, F that, I ain't doing that, and I roll straight around because this doesn't seem like a good idea. It's 11 o'clock at night. Let's take a trail that's not a trail that goes straight down and see what happens. So I pull the cameraman card. I drive down the regular trail, which is bad enough because it's slop. It's absolute slop. It's saturated with water. These turns right here, your steering doesn't really want to work with you. Fortunately, the Tundra rack and the 37s did their job. And I pulled up at the base of this water runoff to see what could possibly go wrong or what could possibly go right. But at this point, I'm starting to have my doubts about this entire thing, to be perfectly honest, because it's late. I already warned them that this trail is off the hook, and Jason's already taken really risky maneuvers, we'll call it. You see what I'm saying? Doesn't make him a bad guy. It just ain't the smartest thing in the world. You know what I mean? So I pull out the night vision camera, and I start recording, because that's what I do. And right off the bat, Jason does what Jason does. Jason's on not the trail. Jason has taken a hard left turn down a water runoff in his 73 series. And if you're familiar with the 73 series, it has a very long extended front bumper to accommodate the factory electric PTO driven winch. It's not an electric winch, it's a PTO, my bad. And right off the bat, I'm looking at this just shaking my head going, I just went up the devil's backbone, and this kid looks like he is bound and determined to get us all stuck or damaged. It's just how Jason rolls. He's incredibly quiet, he's incredibly humble, but when he's behind the wheel, he's a madman or a lunatic or whatever you want to call him. But he made it, and after scraping lots of sheet metal and armor, the 100 series made it as well. I had no desire to do this whatsoever at all because I didn't see anything good coming from it. Fortunately, well, all that would change very, very shortly, as you'll see. So after that was out of the way, we just headed in. And when you head in on the power lines, it's not very long before you hit water and mud and water and mud in long, long stretches and really, really steep climbs. So all was looking pretty well. We were all rolling together. No big deal. Nothing to see here, folks. The camera work on one GoPro wasn't so great because we were getting water all over the lenses, but we did what we had to do, and that was that. And everything seemed to be going rather swimmingly until we hit the mud. And Jason, being the leader of the pack, dove right into the mud head first. And Steven and I followed him directly in. Because, I mean, seriously, what could possibly go wrong, right? Well, right off the bat, Jason sunk the 73 series. The 100 series was still on solid ground, so we were in good shape. And I wasn't stuck at all. So all was well, but Jason was definitely stuck. So it was time to break out the recovery gear, which we did. So real quick, here's another view. This is from the 73. That's the 100 series, and I'm behind. Steve stops, and he's on solid ground. I pull to the left, so I'm on solid ground. And Steve gives his winch cable to Jason, who starts pulling the winch out, obviously. Seems easy enough. I mean, what could possibly go wrong, right? One guy down.
They're delicious. They love the light, don't they? Hey, what's your name?
Stephen Hollingshead. Jason
for
going on 20
years. There you go.
Back when he's a Jeep guy.
So the 100 series was able to winch Jason back far enough to get him on firm ground and take another shot at this couple hundred yards of very deep, very slick mud. And that's what we did.
All right. 8 feet, 10 feet, 12. Oh, wait a minute. I'm going backwards.
Yeah, you still got 10 feet.
Driver, passenger. Here we go. You got it. Get up on this grass. You're good.
I'm going to get a reset.
If you can stay on this grass and the big fat one, you should be good, brother.
I think it's going to fall. I'm going to fall up in a big hole if I do that.
Yeah,
I don't know, man.
Usually a bad.
Well, that side's already dug to shit. We're going to have to blow through it.
Hold right here.
No, I'm saying right here on this one. Stay out of this.
Yeah.
That one and that big one in the middle.
There's some big ruts right here you don't want any of.
Watch yourself.
There's big ruts.
Stay on the grass. One tire, driver on the grass and the other one on the big one and try to go slow. You should have traction on the grass.
Over here?
Right here. That big one right there.
What about that big old hole across over up there?
Yeah, you're not ever going to get through that up there.
I don't know, then.
Way up there.
I don't know.
Before he made it through the... I don't think this right here is crossable.
Oh, you asshole!
So after giving it one hell of a try, the 73 series gets stuck once again. So it's my turn to try to pull him out. So the 100 series is stuck. The 73 is stuck. I'm not stuck as of yet. So I pull up on the left-hand side in the grass so that I can extend my winch cable out, hook up to the 73, pull him back, and hopefully let him get one more shot at it. So that's exactly what we do. But after stretching the winch cable all the way out, we realize I can't reach Jason at all. Or I can't reach the 100 series, because everybody's stuck, so it's hard to tell who I'm winching right now. I kind of forget. At any rate, I decide we need to pull the truck up, my truck up, so I can reach these boys. We've got 120 foot of winch cable, we've got 60 feet of tow straps, and then worst case scenario, we've got bungee cable, but I don't want to use that on a winch job. So I decide to pull my truck up, because what could go wrong, right? So now I'm stuck, Jason's stuck, and Steve's stuck. The 100 series, the 4Runner, and the 73 series are all stuck. So I use Jason as an anchor point to finally pull myself free of this, because I got stuck because my front tires fell into the huge ditch that Jason 73 made in front of me. So Steve does all the cable work while I'm winching from inside the truck. And finally, the 4Runner is out. So I am free. Free at last. Here we go. Now, we got to get Steve out because Jason backed after we got Jason out again, he backed down the trail and slipped into a very deep ditch trying to pull Steve out. So I'm going to pass him, get up in front of him, pull him out, and then pull Steve out and see who else gets stuck. But this was getting ridiculous, but we handled it, no problem. And fortunately, we had all the gear we needed to get ourselves out, and we did. And then, finally, we are all
free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty! Free at last!
And then, we finally began the trail. Now remember, we've only been on the trail for less than a mile. We still got the entire trail to do. So, we hit it. Tires a-spinning. So the next obstacle we ran into was a severely rutted-out climb that I actually got stuck on before in the daytime because my tires were overflated and I approached it way too slow. The 73 series was having some issues trying to climb up this, and he had to back down and take another shot at it. But after a few, he finally made it. But I mean, he was tearing this up. So by the time the 100 series hit it, he was tearing it up and he had a hard time on it as well. Fortunately, the 4Runner just blew right up it, and sadly, nobody thought to film it, so that really sucked, you know what I mean? But you can pretty much catch what I'm pitching here from the video. 73 finally makes it up there, there he goes, Steven's getting ready, and Steve gives it the berries. He is not messing about. He lays onto this thing and climbs this. You can't really see it here. So we finally made it to the other side, where I originally wanted to go in the first place to get the footage of us crossing the streams. Turns out, crossing the streams, I really couldn't do anything because the drones couldn't see. It was way too dark, being the Ozarks and all. But this trail right here is still an awesome trail. And especially at night, it's a whole different look. All sorts of twisties, all sorts of turns, etc. So it was very cool. But we finally made it to the water crossings and eventually made our way out, which was pretty exciting as well. And finally, after about 6 hours of four-wheeling, it was time to make our way out of there. And the final trail to get out of there can be a little tricky, especially at night, especially when it's soaking wet, and especially when you don't put your 73 into four-wheel drive. You know what I'm saying? Because that happens.
There you go. You got it. You got it. Woo, you had it. There it is. Go right to that corner. Okay, he got it. He's up. I went right over the rock. I thought it was easier. Nicely done. Nicely done. They always make the old guy chase him. Steve and Colby. All right. Nicely done. Nicely done.
So with the night run under our belt, I decided to head down to Flat Nasty. The new owners had invited me to come down and videotape for the day. So once Jason heard about this, he wanted to bring his new flat-fendered wheelies down there to test its mettle. He loves this thing. He owns a bunch of Land Cruisers, but this is his new favorite toy. So I was all about it. He's driving. This is his front yard, by the way, literally. So he's just out there messing around. And he wanted to take this thing onto a Black Diamond Trail. And to be perfectly honest, I wanted to test the 4Runner on some Black Diamond Trails to see if it could even hang. But first, I had to find my way down to Flat Nasty. From Jason's house to Flat Nasty was only a 45-minute ride. But my GPS would not cooperate at all. It drove me in circles for 4 hours on back roads, literally.
So it's been a couple of years since I tried to go to Flat Nasty Off-Road Park. I'm supposed to meet Jason Harris down there. He's at church right now. We're going to take the 4Runner and the Willys. We were out till 3 in the morning wheeling last night, and it got hectic. A lot of winching. But this is what my GPS did for me. It took me to a spot where there's supposed to be a ferry to get me across this river. And I do not remember how to get to Flat Nasty and circumvent this river. It's been several years. I used to bring the 80 series up here. But the good thing about this place is the old owner told me several stories and had pictures of a Bigfoot on his property. And he said that it was only there seasonally. It would migrate through around April or May. Well, that's why I'm here. His HVAC guy was working on his building and said he saw a bear coming out from behind the building. And then the bear stood up and started running away on two legs. And he actually got a picture of it. It's a terrible picture. I don't have the picture, but I did see it. But this guy's in his 70s. He has no reason to lie. He lived an incredibly exciting life. Professional motocross racer, so forth, so on, blah, blah, blah. So he doesn't need to make up Bigfoot stories. And talking about Bigfoot doesn't make people think of you as a, I don't know, it ruins your reputation. How's that?
Now, with all the Toyotas that Jason Harris owns, his favorite new toy is this Willys flat fender. He's juiced it up a little bit, and this is next to his house. This trail right here goes right up to his driveway. And I wouldn't do it in my 80 series, and I wouldn't do it in my 4Runner, because there's a good possibility of flipping over backwards. And it's my only vehicle. Jason doesn't really care. And if you pay attention really close, you can see that one of the front hubs isn't locked. He did eventually make this climb, just not on this particular day. But this is the truck he wanted to take to Flat Nasty, and he did. And just for reference, here's that same climb today with a very well-equipped Land Cruiser 100 series trying to make that same climb that Jason was trying to make in the Willys.
Go, 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 go. Ooh, whoa, 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 whoa. Hold us. You got one light tire.
So we made our way into Flat Nasty, down to Trail 5, and I followed Jason right up to the Black Diamond Trail. Now, the Black Diamond Trail had just been run for the last 2 days by Rock Bouncers, which are trucks with 44 and bigger inch tires and massive engines, and they just completely tore it up. So at this point, me and Jason went our separate ways because I wanted to set up cameras and film what I was doing, and Jason had a friend with him from church, and I didn't want to slow them down, so we went our separate ways, and it looked like this. Now, this particular obstacle on the Black Diamond Trail, I'm going to show from many angles because I've done this before and it wasn't quite as bad as it is now. It's a much more difficult climb, and I actually had a hard time doing this in my 80 series a couple few years ago when I came out here with Jason as well. So I'm going to show it to you from every angle. You can skip it if you need to. As happy as I was that I made it over this obstacle, that I wasn't sure if this truck could even do it. As happy as I was, this obstacle is just the entrance. Up around the corner, everything got really hectic. This is where the Rock Bouncers had been running their trail, and they destroyed it, and it was all downhill in a really, really bad way. It was no joke. You'll see.
Hot and humid. This is like the sixth Black Diamond I've climbed up. Setting up cameras sucks. But it's worth it, I guess. I guess. You tell me if it's worth it.
Now, climbing up rocks, if the vehicle's capable and you know how to do it, isn't the worst thing. But as soon as I came up over this hill and set up the cameras and saw how steep, huge boulders everywhere, trees, and this mud was tore up. It had just rained for 3 days, so this was serious mud, and I had no choice but to go downhill. There was no turning back. This was scary, and I almost regretted it. Boulders, trees, and sharp turns all the way down. I had got myself into a pickle, and I kind of wish Jason was around, even though I just shooed him away. It is what it is. Welcome to the life. Dirt life. I regretted this right off the bat, but then again, my pain is self-chosen. The only direction I've got to go is down.
Down, oh down, down.
Now, I did one more trail, trail number 15, which is also a black diamond. But unfortunately, like earlier in the video, I somehow overwrote the footage and I don't have it. So it is what it is. At any rate, the truck showed herself to be more than capable. I was completely astonished. And now, the build, all the time, energy, effort, and money that I put into it has paid off because it's exactly what I wanted it to be. But before we leave Flat Nasty, let me tell you a story and show you some stuff about a story the owner told me about Bigfoot on his property more than once. So in 2019, I came out here for the first time with Jason Harris, and I met the owner of Flat Nasty. The guy was a professional motocross dude who made enough money to actually buy this entire property out in Missouri without even seeing it. His only stipulation about buying the property is he asked the realtor, if I walk from one end to the other end of my property, can I die? And the realtor said, in all honesty, absolutely. So he bought it, and he turned it into Flat Nasty Off-Road Park. Now, this dude was in his 70s and had no reason. His life was already awesome as it was. He sat around at his park, hanging out with people doing things he enjoyed doing, off-roading, drinking beer, campfires, etc. He had no reason at the end of his life to make up a ridiculous story and then actually had picture proof of it, of a Bigfoot being on his property. An HVAC guy showed up at his house one day, and when Ron ran into him, the guy said, hey, I just went to work on your HVAC unit outside of your house, and as I was coming around the side of your house, I thought I saw a bear. And he got his camera out to take a picture because he thought it was kind of cool, a bear in Missouri. And as he took his phone out to take a picture, the bear stood up on two legs and ran away. It was a Bigfoot, and he got it on. He got a picture of it. He showed it to me, but I never actually got a copy of it. So it is what it is. But I talked to his employees there, and they say that right around April, which is now, or May, once in a while, they'll get the smell of rotting, dead flesh. Exactly what you hear about Bigfoots, and they find tree structures in the woods. So I went to exactly the spot that he was talking about and poked around a bit, and this is what I found.
So this, right here, is what he was servicing. Came down the driveway, it went by, thought it was a bear, pulled out his camera, and it stood up on two legs and ran that way. So this land right here, where the HVAC guy saw the Bigfoot go from four foot onto 2 foot and running, is back here at the farthest end of the park, which butts right up to the National Forest, right there. So this just goes on and on and on. And I'm seeing something over here. This is all thorns. All thorns. Let's see what... It looks like a little tree structure, but let me go see. If it is a tree structure, it looks old. He said April, May, he could smell them coming through the grounds. You know, like they were migrating. No, that ain't a tree structure. I thought it was.
And here's something else. Let me reiterate this. Ron lived in California. He was a professional motocrosser. He was famous. He made a lot of money. He bought this place out in the Ozarks, turned it into an off-road park, and when he was traveling the property, which abuts a national forest, many times in April and May, while traveling, he'd have to pull over to see if there was a dead animal, and all he would see was footprints and tracks. This guy was serious about this. And why would he exaggerate or lie when his life was already awesome as it was? He wouldn't. Do you see what I'm saying? One other thing is whenever the dead animal smell would show up, which everybody at the park could smell, they just couldn't spot the thing. But this is what the park looks like most of the time. It's massive. The only neighbors they have are Mark Twain National Forest. Whenever the dead animal smell would show up in April or May, there would always be a goat. A random goat that just showed up. There's no farms nearby. It didn't make any sense. These guys thought enough. They thought this was strange enough to include this, so I'm going to include it. But it's a crazy place. But I'll tell you what, if there's any place that there's a Sasquatch, this is dead nuts Bigfoot Central, in my opinion, without a doubt. And this is where Ron and his wife lived before they sold Flat Nasty last year. A beautiful log cabin at the very, very, very end of the park. Most people don't even make their way down here, but he invited me down here the couple of times I was here. And again, it's incredibly secluded. There's tons of wildlife of all sorts, national forests in both directions. And he wasn't a Bigfoot guy until he moved here. And I mean, I'm just going to say it one more time. Why would he lie? The guy has already got an awesome life. If he wants stories, he's got them. He doesn't have to make up one that makes you look like an absolute jerk off to most average people. You see what I'm saying? At any rate, that wraps it up for Flat Nasty. On to the very last piece. We're heading to the Ozarks in Arkansas for a minute. So here we go. So like most of this video, my buddy Jason gave me a Gaia map and sent me about 70 miles south of Missouri Ozarks down to the Arkansas Ozarks, where there was the promise of lots of water crossings, etc. There hadn't been any rain yet, so it was pretty dry. So I gassed up, loaded up, grabbed some jelly beans, patted me a goat, and I headed down to the Ozarks in Arkansas. And it worked out pretty well. Very scenic. Not very many rough trails whatsoever at all, but very, very scenic. And I'm going to show you some of those sites. Some beautiful waterfalls, some very cool trails, etc. So here we go. So with the help of the Gaia map that Jason had given me, I found my way down to where I wanted to be. This was about a 17-foot loop that promised waterfalls, water crossings, etc. And I got there just around nightfall. And I found a killer campsite right next to the river, which was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. But the first thing I wanted to do, because I was parked in the shade, was set up my off-grid Trek solar blanket, my 200-watt solar blanket. Because even though I've got two Merlin solar panels on the top of my Alucab, the off-grid Trek blows them away by a lot. And Merlins are serious money solar panels. But the off-grid Trek, if there's daylight, it pulls a current. Unlike needing direct sunlight. So I set that up and then basically just started setting up my camp for the most part. And you know I really plan on relaxing when I actually set up my chair and my awning. It's a very rare thing because I'm usually parked for the night and then hit the road first thing in the morning. Close up the tent and roll out. But for this one, I figured I'd kick back and relax a little bit. So I set that up. But before that, I had actually went and got some firewood, and that was a very strenuous exercise. When it's warm out, there's only one reason ever for me to start a campfire, and that was to cook corn on the cob. So I got a blazing fire going and cooked up 4 ears of corn because I love me some corn on the cob. If you've never been to the Ozarks, it's absolutely beautiful. The camping spot that I had was just camp, no paying anybody, all good. Beautiful fields, clover everywhere. And the beautiful part about the Ozarks is the water. There's bridges everywhere, there's water everywhere, which means there's wildlife of all types everywhere. And I absolutely love this stuff. And I made this video, so if you've never been there, you'll have an idea of what it's like, because I've pretty much covered all the bases, I'm pretty certain. When the sun came up, it was time for me to do some reconnaissance. This was the river I had to cross in my truck, because where I was and where I wanted to go, well, the river ran between it. And that's where I wanted to go, out there. So I had to figure out if I was even going to be able to cross this river. I saw one set of tracks in the river, and that was it. And I had no idea how deep the river was. And for the first time in my life at a river crossing, I literally had to wade out there and see how deep the water was. And brother, well, you'll see. How about that? Right there is where I needed to go. I could see there was a set of tracks. But I don't know if that's a tractor or a giant truck or I don't know what that is. But that's where I need to go. So I threw on my bathing shorts, grabbed myself a stick, and I headed into the river.
Thank you.
So it turned out the water was up to my chest, which is about 4 foot deep. The current didn't seem to be going along too swiftly, so I thought I was going to be good. The rocks on the bottom seemed like they were decent enough as long as I aired the truck down enough to give her traction. But I mean, still. The one city boy crossing this river solo, one of many crossings I'm going to have to do, crossing it solo. I don't want to end up in the local newspaper with my truck floating down the river on its side. But I still took the risk. Here we go. You got to remember, I'm a big-time poker player, or I used to be. And when you're doing stuff like this, especially alone, you're the first guy out there. You know what I'm saying? And you're risking everything. If the truck stalls, if you hit a deep spot in the middle of the water, if you suck water in, etc., etc., a lot of things can possibly go wrong. It looks easy from this particular perspective, but after I show you me crossing, I'm going to show you what it looks like from my perspective in the truck, because it's pretty trippy. And once you hit the water, you need to keep moving at a slow, steady pace. Keep your footing, and you don't want to flood the truck. You don't want water in the truck. I have so many cameras and drones and carpeting and electronics, etc. This has to work. And on this particular crossing, it did. But again, let me show you what it looks like from my particular perspective in the truck for the most part. So I made it across that particular water crossing and headed down the road. This road was allegedly 17 miles. It was going to take me to a waterfall, and that's what I was looking for. This waterfall was supposed to be some sort of a swimming hole with the most beautiful view, scenery, etc. And I had nothing else to do but kill time, so I headed to it. And it didn't take me too long until I found it. This waterfall was indeed beautiful. Some of the clearest water you're ever going to see, you'll find down in the Ozarks. I don't understand what it is, but the water is crystal clear, almost a turquoise, kind of a duller turquoise color, not quite as colorful as the water up in the San Juan Mountains of Colorado, but it's a close second. And this is just a beautiful spot. It's on the side of the road. You got to hike down in there, in on all those rocks and such, to look around. But I'm glad I did, because I found the craziest tree that I've ever seen. Now, I've seen some crazy trees out in the Redwood Forest, the Sequoia Forest, out in Wyoming, etc. But this one was different, because this tree literally grew through the rock. I've never seen such a thing. So I don't know if this is limestone, and it's pliable, and the tree can grow through it or whatever, but I couldn't figure it out. I have never seen such a thing. And the tree was still producing leaves, so it was still alive. It was hollowed out in the middle. You could literally sit in there. I could fit in there. It's that big. But I ain't never seen nothing like that before. And it's right in the middle of the path of the waterfall. Now, every time I see a bridge in the Ozarks, I have to stop and investigate because I'm looking for snakes or whatever. But this time I found something I wasn't quite expecting, and I managed to save a couple of thousand frogs. Yeah. They're turning the frogs gay! Yeah, I managed to save a bunch of frogs, and I'll prove it. Like I said, they hadn't been getting very much rain, and the rivers were down. And while I'm standing on the side of this river, I notice this puddle that's steadily drying up as I'm standing there, and I notice that it's got thousands of teeny tiny little tadpoles in it. And I looked at it and didn't think too much of it and started to walk away, but the 5-year-old in me couldn't do it. So I decided to build a dam to redirect the water towards this puddle and see if I could save these guys. And I did.
So that's where the tadpoles were. So I tried to build a little dam to get the water diverted over here. And after an hour, that didn't work. I tried using my bottle to overflow that puddle. And then that didn't work. And then it dawned on me, I need a push broom. So I took some pine boughs, I made a broom, and I swept them all out to the water. So there they are now. Instead of dying today or tomorrow in that puddle, they're in the river in their own little dammed-in area. There's a lot of them. I mean, look at them now. At least they got a choice. I've always loved frogs. It is what it is. People driving over the bridge going, what the hell is wrong with that dude? I tried to build a dam. It took a long time. And every time I pick up a rock, I'm waiting to get bit by a snake or a spider because they're everywhere. At any rate, let me finish this up. Get some of these stragglers out of here. Yeah.
It might not matter, but it mattered to me, and I wanted to save the little guys, so I did. Took me about an hour out in the sun, which was brutal at high noon, but it was probably much worse for them. At any rate, I continued on my way. Not too much exciting stuff as far as trails, but lots of cool things on the side of the road. And as I'm driving along, I spot something really strange in the side of the road. It looks like a dinosaur behind a huge electric fence. So I pull over, I crawl through the thorns, the barbed wire, etc., and find these dudes, which was the strangest thing, but I got it on video.
Unless you're in Arkansas, I guess. There's an angry llama. Look at him. Look at him. He's pissed. And then there's a camel. Listen to him. What's up, buddy? And here comes an emu. Listen to my truck. That would be an emu. You're gonna spit on me, huh? You're angry. Yeah, you're gonna spit. Don't spit on me. Look at him. Wow, look at the size of that. It's like your body's remote control. You got a little weird head. Look at them feathers. That is an electric fence, if I'm not mistaken. Wow.
What's up, Kimmel? Scratching your butt? That's a big camel. Dang.
So after being threatened by a llama and watching a camel literally scratching his butt on a tree, I headed back. And there were plenty of water crossings. There were water crossings aplenty. And I made across all of them fairly safely. But there was a lot of them. I mean, I'm talking a lot. These are all separate. These are all separate stream crossings. And every one of them was deeper than the last, but the truck made it through no problem. No water got in, and all seemed to be pretty well. I came across an awful lot of creepy old buildings, and as long as they weren't posted private property or no trespassing, I did the right thing, and I would climb through the thorns and the barbed wire that was always associated with the thorns, and I would walk in only to see things like this. But to me, it's interesting. I grew up in the city of Lynn, Massachusetts. I spent a lot of time around large cities like Boston, Massachusetts, etc. But I did my basic training down at Fort Benning, Georgia, and I think it always gave me a soft spot in my heart for this kind of stuff. Because when you're creeping and crawling around out here, you've got snakes, spiders, hillbillies, etc., that you may or may not have to deal with. I come prepared for the most part, but it is what it is. At any rate, this video's at a 1 hour and 33 minutes long, so I'm going to wrap it up right here. If you enjoyed this video, there are more to come. I'd appreciate it if you could hit that like, share, and subscribe. YouTube has been shadow banning my channel since I put up the illegal alien video, and they don't seem to like me anymore. So the more help you can give me, the better. At any rate, leave a comment below, and I will return the favor. I am out.